Hello, everyone. Hello. Welcome to Thirsty Thursday. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Big, huge, wonderful day on the Joke Cast. Thank you so much, Georgie D, for calling in and having a long talk on the way to my dentist about sex and relationships and my nerdy books. And yeah, it was great talking to you and the secret of eternal youth. And so great talk. Hope everyone is enjoying the show as I throw it up there and out there. And thanks for calling into the Dreamcast and listening to the Dreamcast and making this Thirsty Thursday extra thirsty. Love you guys.
You and me.
Hello, hello, Georgie D. How are you? Good day.
Good day.
I'm glad you were on Walkabout. Or
you got it, Walkabout.
Or dream time.
You're driving to the dentist, buddy.
I'm driving to the dentist. Yeah, it's just a checkup, just a checkup. But yeah, I'm driving to the dentist. It's pouring down rain, but it's early, so there's traffic. So it's not I'm not like driving like 100 miles an hour or anything.
Excellent. Driving responsibly with earbuds in?
Oh, yeah. Earbuds are in. And yeah, I'm watching.
Good job. So what are you talking about on your station? You're talking about sex, baby.
We're talking about sex. We're talking about love, relationships. It's Thirsty Thursday. So it's something that, yeah, it's a term we use here. Do they have Thirsty Thursdays in Australia?
We have Fuck Yeah, It's Friday.
Fuck Yeah, It's Friday. Oh, yeah, we call it, Thank God It's Friday. We're all deeply religious Puritans here.
Yeah.
If you're polite, you say TGIF, TGIF, everyone.
Yeah, yeah, YOLO.
YOLO, yeah. What was it, what was the drink you said?
Red Bull.
Not Red Bull, what was the thing before that?
Beer? Wine, whiskey, gin.
Was it like a sex tape?
Alcofrol.
Alcofrol. What is that?
Yeah. Well, you know, frolic means to have fun. So I combined it with the word alcohol and turned it into alcofrol. So I'm an alcofrolic.
I love it. I love that. Can I use that on like a daily basis?
You can still.
Because that alcofrolic, I think, or alcofrol, is like the perfect drink for Thirsty Thursday.
It's great. It's great.
If you are thirsty on Thirsty Thursday, you're looking for a frolic usually. Yes. It's a term. Yes. It's a term I heard a lot. I'm married now, but when I was single, you would hear that all the time. That it was Thirsty Thursday. You know, I've got some thirst, and it was like lonely single dudes like going on like the Tinder and stuff like
lonely. I'm single. I'm never lonely.
That is great. That's honestly before I got married, I actually got into that point. But I would love to hear that. How do you maintain being single and never lonely? Because you know that's especially a lot of guys seem to have that problem. That they're lonely and they're very deeply upset and angry about it. So even angry about it sometimes.
Oh, that's a shame. I can send them to my house. I'll cheer them up.
Australia, the bush, Georgie D. Okay, I'll get that address when we're done here.
Yeah. not my bush, just the general bush.
Okay, that's like a term that we share.
I thought so. I really did. I basically have been single my whole life. So I've had relationships for sure, but I need lots of freedom in my life, but I do that in a very boundaried way. So I've kind of settled upon what I like to call ethical non-monogamy.
So you, would you, okay, ethical non-monogamy. Oh, that's great. This is something that I, you know, my wife, if you have listened to my podcast, I've got a joke song on there called Let's Get a Sister Wife.
That's more polyamory. So,
exactly. Yeah,
I dabbled with polyamory, but it wasn't really up my alley, because what I found with polyamory is that there's still a hierarchical system. So people will have a primary relationship, and then I'll have secondary and tertiary relationships. And because I like my freedom, I always ended up being the secondary or the tertiary relationship. And basically, I got screwed over. So if the primary person has needs, they're always going to come first. So if they've got something going on a Thursday night and you had tickets to go and see a show with your boyfriend, who happens to be a poly guy, but his primary girlfriend had some drama go down, you're screwed. He'll let you down. He'll stand you up. Yeah, so I decided I didn't really like the hierarchy of that.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm the same. I know one of my best friends is in a polyamorous relationship. Mm. And then I'm a huge nerd, you know. Do you know who Robert Heinlein is?
No idea.
He's an author, and he wrote a Starship Troopers, Time Enough for Love.
Starship Troopers is great. Is he single? Is he good looking? Does he have a number?
He's dead.
Oh. Maybe we can wrap up now. Like,
well, Starship Troopers was kind of his, you know, and people are like, that was his kind of like pro armed forces, pro military kind of thing.
Yeah.
He wrote an entire series towards the end of his life called The Future Histories, and it revolves around a character named Lazarus Long, who was born Woodrow Wilson Smith in 1914, but then the book takes place in, like, you know, like the year 4000, and he's lived this extremely long life. He's kind of like a freak. He just has this extremely long natural life, and it talks about all of his
sex
with lots of, not only that, but time travel sex. Memory, sex with his own female clones, going back in time and having sex with his mother. It gets all weird. But it's weird. It's weird, but in a sci-fi way, it kind of makes sense why he does it.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's becoming his own father or grandfather because she's pregnant when they have sex. Not with him. He's like 5 years old and like ruins their... Okay, I'm going to stop now. Anyways, I'm giving a long synopsis. So I go off on rants. But he does these whole series of books, but he deals with polyamory and different marriage setups.
Yeah.
And so it's always been fascinating to me because I've been reading those books for years and years and years. So I'm sorry, long rant. So your current status, like, do you have multiple partners right now?
Like that guy, what was his name again?
Lazarus Long.
Right, Lazarus Long. So I never get told that I look my age. Like, people are constantly like, "Why do you look so old, Georgia?" And I like to tell them that I take the all of the essence of all the young men that I have in my life, and I just massage that into my face every night, and it keeps me. I like to call it youth juice, and it's actually it's a proven fact that when people have sex, they're actually exchanging DNA. So therefore, ergo, if you're an older person and you have lots of young lovers, they're keeping you young, literally.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's one of my secrets.
My wife will be game on me using young lovers to stay young. I don't know.
You don't need it. You don't need it. You can grow old gracefully. She's the one that's going to be
young. She needs young. Okay, that's cool. She got
young. Yeah. Like, don't tell her that. She'll be very upset. Yeah, I just need lots of freedom. Look, I still have friendships with boyfriends that I met 25 years ago. And sometimes they turn into boyfriends again, and sometimes they don't. So it's not that I don't have long-term, deep, connected relationships. I do. But I am the sort of person that needs lots of freedom in my relationships. But having said that, I'm not really into dating lots of people at the same time. I like lots of time to myself. So people, when they think of polyamory and ethical non-monogamy, they think that we're just out there
harassing
people. Yeah, yeah, just like bonking like bunnies. But it's not true. Like, it's bonking like Australian bunnies in the bush. I actually spend a lot of time on my own. I really like my own space. So I think people are becoming a little bit more like that. And to be honest, I've met a lot of young people on Tinder and other dating apps who are very much into poly-type lifestyles. It seems to be much more acceptable amongst young people than it does among people of my era or a bit younger. So I'm 50 now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm 38. But so he's the youngest. So, yeah, your picture, you're right. You're absolutely right. Your picture, your voice even. I'm just like, I thought you were the same age as me, but you know, maybe.
I am, thanks to the youth juice, you know.
Exactly, yeah. Well, the 50 is the new 20, so we're all going to live to like 150, 200 years because Elon Musk is going to come out with some sort of robot that'll live inside of us and fix us or something. Die and like
big blobs aren't maybe running. You know, the humans have just become enormously fat and they just run around in these air-propelled chairs.
I don't know. I think there's so many body-obsessed people now that I don't think that that's going to happen. Like the Wall-E, I think there's going to be the healthy people and the unhealthy people. And I...
That's it. There's only two types of people.
Eventually, maybe. I mean, it may get to that. And yeah, I'm a huge nerd. But it may get to the point where it's like, you know, we have to like live in shifts or something, like day walkers and night walkers, like 19, you know, like what was?
I choose night walker, please.
Chuck Palahniuk, who wrote Fight Club. Have you read Fight Club? Or his book on sexual addiction is called Choke.
Oh, gosh, I love that movie. And I'll tell you something that I don't tell everybody. But I actually, in one period of my life, I actually attended a 12-step program for sex and love addicts.
Really?
Yeah, it was fascinating. It was fascinating. 2 years I went to that. It was great. I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's very energy, and I'm basically agnostic atheist. So, but I think the strategies and tactics of 12-step programs for any addiction are very practical. And I found the program of group therapy very valuable. But I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, they're kind of striving for the idea of you can create your own perfect version of yourself, and then you'll attract the perfect partner for you. And that goes against my belief system, which is I don't actually believe in the one. So, and plus, you know, they kind of propelled me to the position of fearless leader, and I hate being in charge. Hate it. That's like, where's the key? Go door. And can you bring the kettle? And can you buy the biscuits? And can you tell us how to move the feet? I was like, oh, no, go away. Get off me. Get off. But yeah, I loved that movie, Choke. It was fabulous. One of my favorite actors. That was that actor, what's his name? He starred in a movie directed by David Bowie's son called Moon. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't. Yeah, Sam Worthington?
No,
Sam Rockwell. Oh, that's right. He was Zaphod Beeblebrox in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yes, I remember when that first came out. You probably weren't born.
Aww. not the original radio broadcast, but yeah, I'm a huge nerd. I've listened to like all the versions of the BBC. I used to read the entire Hitchhiker series every Christmas.
Yeah, same. I love that show.
I'm a huge Doctor Who fan too. So like, I know all the.
We're gonna be good friends. I love sci-fi and fantasy. Oh, yeah. But so I think the reason I ended up going to a 12-step program, Sex and Love Addicts, is because I thought there was something wrong with me because I was operating a different way to society's preconceptions. And, you know, by the end of that two-year program, I realized that I'm perfectly fine just the way I am. And I don't have to be like everybody else.
That's fantastic. And, you know, I think the kids now, and my sister is half my age. So she's in her early 20s, and she's an artist. And so, you know, of course, I'm on Instagram and Twitter and stuff like that, and I read her posts, and I see her art, and the thing she's doing, and the kids now, it's like, they have so much more creative freedom than we did, or I felt I did. And, you know, because I always felt like that your parents always were like, you know, hey, you got to be good. You have to, you know, you want to do this, grow up, get a real job. And these kids now, they're just kind of like, nah, I don't think so. You know, I ask her, you know, do you have a boyfriend? You seeing anyone? She's like, I got a lot of friends. I'm talking to a lot of guys. And it's like, talking to, is that like, oh, yeah, I'm having sex with them. Oh, okay.
She's a girl after my own heart.
And so it's like, you know, well, but that, it's like you talk to a lot of the kids nowadays, and they're always like, oh, we're just talking. We're just talking. Well, I found out that means they're
not committed.
Right, exactly. We're not in a relationship, but we're boinking like all the time.
I think it's great. I think it's, I mean, personally, I think it's good that society's reinventing itself. You know, if I were to be honest about my belief systems, I would say that I think that a heterosexual monogamous marriage is very reductive and it's been imposed on us at a certain era. If we go back to caveman days, everybody was, oh, you're right, did that crash?
No, I'm still here.
I crashed the car. Don't be careful.
I'm good. No. I went through like a big puddle and I was hydroplaning, but no, it's okay.
I'm like polyamory and caveman, and he's like just barely coping with the road.
No.
It's all good.
I've got like one of those like organized minds, so you know, driving is being handled by one part of my brain. Talking to you, grocery list. Having like mental imaginary sex with people in my brain all at the same time. So,
excellent. As long as you don't experience getting turned on, and then all the blood's going to rush to a different area, and then maybe your brain won't be so multifunctioning.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That's true.
That's true. I know. So, anyway, back to my theory of caveman being polyamorous. So, I think a heterosexual monogamy is an imposed position on society, and I'm not saying I'm totally against it, and if that's what swings your propeller, then that's what floats your boat, go for it, but I think that it's not for everyone, and I think the younger generations are starting to reimagine relationships, and I'm happy about that.
I agree. Like I said, you know, I've been, you know, I read all my books and stuff like that, and I'm just like, there's got to be a better way, there's got to be a better way and more time for love and more time for sex. And, you know, I am in the monogamous relationship. But honestly, honestly, the topic has come up between my wife and I, and it's like, you know, are we having enough sex? What do you need compared to what I need? Maybe do we want to, maybe look around at other people or other things and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. It kind of wears off. I mean, I know I'm generalizing, but I think the first flush of feeling really attracted to the other person and just overwhelmingly into them is actually quite short-lived. And,
oh, yeah.
And I think that's basically a human function of trying to make babies. That's how we're designed, so that we can have kids. And then it kind of wears off, and then I think we're supposed to branch out. It doesn't mean you have to let go of that relationship. And so for me, that's the important thing, is I don't ditch people. I don't stop caring about people or loving certain people in my life. I still want them in my life. But I still need freedom and variety. And I don't think it's a natural human thing to just be with one person. I certainly
Yeah. Oh, you're breaking up a little bit on me. I think it's me. I'm driving through a place where there's not a lot of LTE, but I'm getting out of it right now.
There's not a lot of polyamory going on in that area, so we've dropped out.
No, it's not. It's actually the neighborhood I grew up in.
It's a square.
Oh my God, the squarest in town. It is the old. Have you ever seen the movie Caddyshack?
Yes.
It is the movie Caddyshack, basically, without the funny characters. So it's all the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, all the Republicans, all the rich people. They won't let cellular companies put stuff in their neighborhood, but then they bitch about their service, and it's like, well, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I grew up in a multicultural area in the south of England that was populated by the workers and the inhabitants of a psychiatric hospital.
Where in England was this?
In Hampshire.
Hampshire, okay.
Yeah. So my father was a psychiatric nursing teacher, and we lived on site in the psychiatric hospital with all the other people, like the doctors and the nurses, and they all came from different countries. So we had very left-wing parents who taught us about the Big Bang Theory and Freudian theories and Freudian stages. Like every time we got to a different stage of development as a kid, our parents would be like, oh God, look at us going to an old stage. And as a kid, you're just like, oh, stop describing me like a psychological thing and just give me a
Yeah, my stepmother went to, her dad was an oil engineer for BP. And so she grew up in, India and London and boarding schools in England and boarding schools in France and all sorts of places. So she had that, the European attitude towards sex and sexuality. And that kind of rubbed off on, my dad then, once he met her, he started to open up too. And then they created a much more, positive atmosphere compared to like my mom's side of the family, where it's like, sex is bad, sex is wrong, even though my mom's an OBGYN nurse, a lady parts nurse, and she always had, like, she was working for like people, like lower income post birth visits, and she'd like have to give them condoms because these people would have so many kids, but then they were on government assistance, so we always had all these cases of condoms in our house. But my mom's like, don't you guys be going out and having sex, don't be stealing those condoms and stuff.
That's so. Right, stay home and have sex instead, it's much safer.
Well, yeah, exactly, and use the condoms, because you don't want to catch something or get anyone pregnant.
So now that you've find yourself shacked up and you're having those thoughts and these conversations with your other half about maybe we should look around and maybe spice things up, like, how are those talks going?
Well, we kind of like, no, let's not do that, because probably more problems than it's really worth. Emotionally and things like that. So, we've reached like a happy medium in our lives. We had a baby almost exactly a year ago, a year and a week ago. And so that changes everything.
Sure does.
Love changes, sex changes, relationship. And I think a lot of our conversations, it was like, we were at like the halfway point of care. And we were exhausted, we were tired, emotionally drained, physically drained. But then I felt like I lost my lover, because we spent a year and a half trying to make our baby. And then partway through the pregnancy, there was some difficulty, and physical connection, just we couldn't have it anymore. And then those couple weeks, those weeks afterwards, but then it changes. You get home from work, you're with your kid, and you get to that point where you're supposed to be sexy, and it just got to the point where it's like, we're just on the couch all the time.
Baby's
not. And it's just like, And so it's like, what do we have to do? So now it's like, what are we going to do to you know, sexify things and, you know,
get rid of the kid.
Help you, you know.
Just adopt him. Yeah. Kick your
No, he's an awesome kid. He's like,
I'm joking. Oh, yeah. Too funny. You know,
I hit the baby lottery, so he's like adorable and like one of the easiest babies in the world.
Yeah, you totally hit the lottery. I think the thing with people with having more freedom in relationships that people really struggle with is jealousy. That's a huge thing. Like you talked about the emotions, and I think that's a really big step to take emotionally and psychologically, because a lot of us have been raised and conditioned by society to believe that when you're in a relationship, the other person belongs to you and you belong to them. And I think it's absolutely essential to move beyond that to a position of I don't own you, you don't own me, and therefore we are individuals and nobody can replace you. I can't swap you out. So if I say I have three boyfriends and one of them says, oh, I'm jealous, you know, Bill's jealous of John, and I say, well, how can you be jealous of John? There's only one Bill. You're a unique human being on this planet, and I can't replace you. You're irreplaceable. So therefore, jealousy can't exist because there's no swapping people out. But having said that, it's very difficult for people to come to that place in their mind. I've managed to get there, but it's taken me quite a long time. I mean, I had jealousy when I was younger, but not anymore. And yeah, so I think it's a bit of a journey.
I absolutely 100% agree with you. I'm at the dentist.
Hey!
Exactly. Yay, I made it. I'm alive. But I want to say thank you so much. Great talk. What I'll do is I'll actually, when I'm done here, if I have some time, I'll either do it after this or when I get home tonight, I'll record it and onto my computer, and then I'll send you a copy.
Excellent.
So then you can post it on yours as well. I'll put it in MP3. And send me your email address through the Voicy Tech. I won't publish it, and I'll send you a copy.
How do I send people a copy? Just write email.
I'll send you a link to my Google Drive.
Oh.
And then do you want to join the Slack channel with me? And I'll edit this part out. I've got a Slack channel with Spidey Hack and a couple other people.
What's a Slack channel?
Slack, it's like a voice over IP. It's a chat program. It's a chat program, collaboration program.
Probably not.
Okay, yeah. You like your independence. That's cool. I got to run.
Don't worry about it. But thanks. It was great chatting. And good luck.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Good luck to you. Have a great day. Thank you. Okay, bye.
Hey, yo. Podcast Universe. Dr. Notorious here of the Notorious Jokecast and his runabout. Just had to wrestle a dog outside and into a cage as a little help to Notorious's brother, Captain Ahab. So, great interview with Georgie D, a little Australian mate. She's down there, down under, in the under. Well, Notorious is up here getting rained on. We had a fun,
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.